Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Dada.
Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider, as well as Lead Lakers Content Creator for Offside, joined on this fine Thursday back from vacation afternoon by you guys. I'm going to open up the mailbag today across Twitter. I'm going to take questions, obviously, from the live audience. And honestly, I'm just going to bask in the glory that is the Wi-Fi that we have in my house compared to the Wi-Fi that my parents had in their house. It is significantly better here. When I was at my parents' house, I don't know if you guys could notice this from what I was doing there, but like my audio wasn't keeping up with the video, and it was just like a guessing game as to when sounders would play and when clips would play and stuff like that. And it made for this like really kind of choppy vibe to the to the entirety of the show, but yeah, this time I can actually see you. Like I can see your guys' chat as it is happening. I can see that my Wi-Fi is finally working, so that is behind us. Today on the show, though, what we're going to be talking about is again, because you guys are going to ask about it, we're going to talk about Jonathan Kuminga. We're going to talk about Rob Pelinka's roster building style, as well as Rob Pelinka's favorite Disneyland attraction. So we will go ahead and discuss some of that as well. And yeah, we're just going to dive on in. A quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications both to the show and to YouTube so you get the notifications to the show. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere you get them is perfectly fine by me. And then today's show, as it always is brought to you here on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA, and you will get $150 worth of Prize Picks credit. If you sign up, use that promo code and win a $5 lineup of your own. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in. Starting with questions that I took from Twitter, because I promised I would answer all of those ones. All right, so the first, I'm just going to go in the order that I see them here, because that is the easiest way, I think, to do this. But yeah, we will start us off with Tyler Nyszynski, who asks, what's a higher percentage Kuminga joining the Lakers or the Lakers going into the season as is? Well, I could do the lawyer thing here and answer this to the letter of the law and say that it is inherently more likely that Jonathan Kuminga joins this roster than it is that the Lakers enter the season as they currently are composed. And the reason that that is inherently and definitively and explicitly true is because the Lakers have to make another tweak before the start of the regular season because they have 16 roster spots dedicated to the or they have 16 guaranteed contracts out there, and the most that you could possibly have is 15. So no matter what happens between now and the end of the off season, the Lakers are going to look different on opening night than they do right now. My guess would be that, you know, and here's where I'll answer the question as it is intended to be answered. Now, if you're asking me, you know, what's the higher percentage, Kuminga joining the Lakers or the Lakers, you know, current or the Lakers starting power forward being on their current roster? That obviously is a lot trickier. I would probably say that it is 55, maybe 60% likelier that the Lakers do not add Jonathan Kuminga than them actually getting him. And the reason I say that is just kind of generally speaking, player acquisition is, you know, in specific player acquisition gets really tricky, especially when another team carries that player's bird rights, as the Atlanta Hawks do. So, yes, the Lakers are probably, I would say, the likeliest team that I think Kuminga joins before the start of the next regular season, but only because somebody has to be. It just kind of comes down to what Kuminga's preferences are going to be. The Lakers have made their offer. They have said what they are willing to do to bring in Kuminga. And I think, frankly, as I said the other day, I think that's basically how everybody is approaching this situation, where everybody has kind of told Kuminga in his camp, this is what we're offering. This is the contract that we're offering. This is the role that we can offer. This is the hurdles that we're willing to jump over to bring you to our team, choose. And Kuminga's side is sitting there hoping that some team blinks and improves the offer in one way or another, and we'll just kind of keep waiting to see how that plays out. I'm recording this on August 6th. And the last time Kuminga had a contractual situation, they carried that thing out all the way till September. So, you know, the whole notion of like, you know, a quick resolution to this, I never thought was particularly possible, simply because Kuminga and his camp weren't going to like the choices that were presented to him and have no reason to do anything other than wait until those offers get better for whatever reason. I don't necessarily think that those offers are going to get better. I think the league is pretty fed up with Jonathan Kuminga and his agent and the way that they do business. And I think it's just kind of like, you know, everybody just kind of telling him, grow up. Like the whole league is telling, like the Warriors told him to grow up. Atlanta is telling him and them to grow up. You know, that whole, like, what I can definitely say is Aaron Turner going on the Hoop Collective in the middle of negotiations, contract negotiations with the Warriors, and pleading his case on one of the, you know, country's most popular NBA podcasts, that openly didn't sit well with anybody in the NBA. Like, nobody enjoyed what was happening there. The stuff with like Rich Paul and the podcast that he has with Max Kellerman, that played a role in how the Lakers felt about LeBron towards the end of that relationship. You know, agents are supposed to be heard, not seen. And by heard, I mean just in contract negotiations, and that's it. And if you want to be one of those, like, you know, kind of louder agents and stuff like that, you better be really effing good at your job and have a really good handle, not just of the market, but of your clients.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
And have a much more productive relationship with the client than I think Turner typically has with his clients in terms of a willingness to tell them what the situation actually is. So, as far as what's the likeliest way that this plays out? Honestly, like either he takes an exception to some team that, you know, already has players at his position that he would have to compete with and maybe win some minutes from, or he takes a minimum with the Lakers and, you know, plays on a 1-year prove it deal that, he can parlay into a better negotiating footing next summer. But as it stands right now, I think everybody's pretty, like, if you think we are sick of this or you think I am sick of talking about this, I would imagine a lot of these teams are pretty sick of hearing from Aaron Turner, you know, asking what the next deal is. Like, you could see it in a news cycle where there will be some report about, you know, some team that could hypothetically do X, Y, or Z to get Kuminga to their team on a contract that Kuminga or Turner would be more interested in, and then very shortly thereafter, there's another report that doesn't like refute the previous report but it does say that, like, you know, very often there will be a follow-up report from some different reporter who is maybe closer to that team or closer to a team who comes out and says, yeah, no, we're not doing all that, you know. And so, like, and it's, we've seen this cycle play out a few times over, right? Like, where the other day I saw there was the Clippers were added to the list of teams that were interested in Turner. And then shortly thereafter, the follow-up report to that was like, Clippers are kind of focused on this Watson thing. And that was before all of the having to wait out this Kawhi Toronto Raptors aspiration situation because Adam Silver doesn't have a spine. We're looking at this, there was another one. Who was the other? Oh, Minnesota. Minnesota the other day was linked to Jonathan Kuminga. And then shortly thereafter, some cap guy was like, they would have to do a lot to even present an offer with the number that is being reported out there. A few times over, there's been some report about, like, the Cavs really, really, really being interested in Jonathan Kuminga. And either the Cavs themselves will act and bring in Mario Hezonja, or, you know, you'll see a different reporter come out and say, I don't know. Like, they're pretty stacked at the wing, and they have very little spending power, and they don't want to jump through all the hoops that they would have to jump through to open up that spending power for Jonathan Kuminga. And by the way, like, the only reporting that we've gotten basically about the Lakers' interest in Jonathan Kuminga was that 2-year, $20 million offer that, you know, has since been confirmed a few times over. And even there, now it's like, what do you want us to do, man? So, like, yeah, I think the whole league is basically making it crystal clear that the way that Aaron Turner has done business, whether it be with Jonathan Kuminga or with prior clients, or Jonathan Kuminga's own immaturity as far as the awareness that he doesn't have about where he stands in the league and what his actual potential is in the league, the league is basically making it crystal clear to both of those people and Kuminga's entire camp, enough, man. Just take a goddamn contract, actually play the way that a team wants you to play, and maybe you can extend your career. But until that happens, then, you know, we're going to keep on dragging our feet out all the way to September, maybe. All right. Carlo asked kind of a follow-up here to that last topic. At KMac was asking, you know, main reason why we are still in Kuminga watch hell. Is it a financial gap between the player and the team? Well, I think there's a few things at play. You know, I think the Lakers are pretty stubborn about what they want to give up in any kind of sign and trade to Atlanta. I think Atlanta is very, they also are very entrenched in their position on what they're willing to do to facilitate a sign and trade. And then, yeah, like there is this lack of understanding from Kuminga and his camp on what teams are willing to do to acquire Jonathan Kuminga and appease Jonathan Kuminga whenever he gets there. And so, like, you know, you have this really dumb standoff where everybody's pointing each other with their finger guns and maybe somebody blinks, but in all likelihood, the person I think or the entity that I see blinking here is probably Kuminga, where he takes an offer that he won't be particularly thrilled about. And then, you know, whoever does sign him with that offer will have to hope that Kuminga does come to, you know, have kind of an epiphany and realize, all right, either I can head further down this path, go down the Cam Reddish pathway and go veteran minimum contract to Orlando Magic Summer League team, or I can get here, buy fully into a role that a team wants me to play, do so consistently enough and amicably enough that the team believes that they think they will get that version of Kuminga moving forward as well. And you know, extend his career that way. But he's at a bit of a fork in the road right now, and we'll see which direction things go. All right, next question I have here from Bounty is a two-parter. Last year, LeBron finally did the... Oh, well, all right. So I don't know which one came first. I get the... In this case, I do have to look up 256 and 240. All right. All right. So the same person sends two questions here. Why are some Lakers personalities still pretending LeBron left the team willingly? It comes off like engagement farming while trying to influence the fan base to hate leadership. You've complained about Braun multiple times during the year, but now we need him. Rob cooked. And then he follows that up with, last year, LeBron finally did the third option role after watching the team look completely different as he sat hurt versus the Pacers, Wolves, and Knicks. And he then proceeded to complain about it every chance he got publicly. Let's not forget about Rich. Why would the team want him back? All right, so I feel like of the voices, I think Pete was first to this one, which was, you know, in pointing out early in the process that he didn't think the Lakers wanted LeBron back. But outside of Pete, I think I'm one of the ones who've been pretty crystal clear on the show and the few times I've honestly been on Twitter less this offseason, by choice. In saying though that, like, if you actually stack up the way that it all kind of played out, it's become pretty clear that to me anyway, that the Lakers were the ones who, you know, started to cut ties first. I would even go back to a couple of years ago. That I think that Jeannie Buss, you know, late, you know, liked the plan that Rob Pelinka laid out, you know, that featured LeBron leaving. And I think the Lakers have been, you know, pretty clearly moving towards or almost looking forward to the moment that LeBron James would be gone. Whether that be for cap reasons or whether that be that relationship having eroded the way that it did. Regardless though, like I feel like I've been pretty consistent in talking about this. Now, I've also been consistent in saying that I think it's a mistake that the Lakers for a couple of years have been working towards or looking forward to the moment that LeBron James could leave. I think they completely took him for granted. I think they completely undersold and continue to undersell what he brought to the table as a basketball player. And I continue to believe that they're going to miss him, seeing as they currently do not employ a starting caliber power forward. So I think there's a lot that can be right at the same time. And I think there can be several parties who are in the wrong. Bounty, it is 100% fair to bring up Rich Paul being a source of annoyance for the Lakers. I find him annoying. I hate that show that he has with Max Kellerman. I hate like how smarmy it is and how like much of a sycophant Max becomes to Rich Paul for the sake of continuing that show and that relationship. And I think that the Lakers saw that podcast as one of the reasons or one of the things they could point to if they were ever asked about like why that relationship soured between LeBron and Rob and Jeannie and the Rabbi and everybody else there. I think it was all just kind of enough. I think everybody just kind of had enough of each other. I think also, like, if we're talking about sources of frustration with one party and another, I think LeBron got pretty sick of operating in, you know, and having to operate in that Lakers ecosystem, which is pretty antiquated compared to some of these more modern organizations that maybe he would that he competed against there in Golden State and that he eventually went to in Philadelphia. So yeah, like we'll kind of see how this plays out. I'm at the point here where I'm kind of ready to move on from it. But like some of the revisionist history that has been going on that I've seen, you know, those rare moments that I'll turn on Twitter and I'll see some takes that some Lakers fans have about LeBron that I'm just like, that is not reality. And one of those things that I don't think is reality is LeBron complaining publicly about that role that he was playing. I don't think he complained about it. He signed up for essentially that same role in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid's going to have the ball a ton. Tyrese Maxey is going to have the ball a ton. Jaylen Brown is going to have the ball a ton. Like LeBron, you know, went to the team that he thought gave him the best chance at winning a championship. And the fact that the Lakers aren't that while they employ a top three player to me is a pretty damning indictment of the job that Rob Pelinka did, not just this summer, but in the run up to this summer where LeBron was like, nah, I don't think that guy's going to build a team that gives me the best chance at winning a championship. Despite that team, by the way, employing his son. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's just is what it is. I would prefer everybody just kind of move on. But like, if we're going to move on, like one thing I don't typically do like handle very well, or one thing that always kind of makes me roll my eyes is revisionist history. Like we've seen it a couple times from Shaq where he was like telling somebody on his show that like, oh, LA never loved me. I never had any chance at being loved because LA always preferred Kobe. And it's like, man, I remember that one. My dad was pissed that the Lakers chose Kobe over LeBron, and was not in some vocal minority. Like a lot of the people that I, you know, Shaq was, you know, like absolutely adored when he was staying in shape and helping the Lakers win championships. But when the company time thing happened And when he and Kobe's relationship reached a point where they put that feud ahead of winning championships, Lakers fans in general were like, all right, I guess we're going to ride with whoever stays here. And that wound up being Kobe. But the notion that Shaq never had a chance is just patently absurd. Just as it is patently absurd that Shaq was saying that he sacrificed his first marriage for the sake of commitment to the sport. Again, this is Mr. Company time. He was not known for commitment to the sport. If he was as committed to the sport as he claims to be, he'd be the greatest player in the history of basketball.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
But he isn't. His peak is higher than almost anybody ever, maybe actually higher than anybody ever. But like, he liked partying. He liked women. And that played a pretty big part in his first divorce. And so like the funny thing with Shaq is like, everybody could see his Instagram comments. Like he's always been Shaq. He'll always be Shaq. And like that revisionist history is as annoying to me as some of the revisionist histories that I've seen from some Lakers fans who were telling me, for some reason on Twitter, I saw the other day, somebody trying to make the point that the Lakers would have been perfectly fine without LeBron, when he first signed in 2018, that eventually they were just going to get some different superstar. And it's like, I remember how the meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge went. I remember Kevin Durant not even giving the Lakers a meeting when he was a free agent. Like, I remember all that stuff. I've seen the bus children run this organization without their dad in charge, and it's not pretty. So this notion that like, yeah, fine. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They would not have been perfectly fine. There would have been a struggle. Who knows where the things would have gone had LeBron not signed in 2018. But like at the end of the day, like LeBron signs in 2018. He then facilitates and helps facilitate by way of his agency or clutch, that is, Anthony Davis to LA. Nico Harrison was so infatuated by Anthony Davis as a basketball player that he was willing to give up Luka Doncic to get Anthony Davis. And a lot of the good stuff that has happened since 2018 can be linked back directly to LeBron, just as there are several things that can be linked back to him that cause frustration, right? The whole summer of Russell Westbrook, he's not blameless there either. He's not the kind of person who gets all of the blame, but he's not blameless. What's happening now is the same thing that happened when Shaq left, which is LeBron's no longer a Laker. Lakers fans no longer ride for LeBron. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of history is written, whether it be by the Lakers or by LeBron down the road, and how this season plays out is gonna, you know, play a big part in who gets to write that history. All right, Data Is My Friend 1 writes, some people wanted a wing besides Sexton. However, given the market, who would have been the backup point guard if we didn't get Sexton? He seems like an above-average backup point guard and will be a good change of pace player. Well, seeing as the Lakers eventually traded for another, like a backup point guard, essentially, in Jaden Hardy, I think like that kind of answers the question there. Also, the Lakers are hoping to get a little bit more. Out of Bronny this year than they've gotten to this point. This is kind of that like make or break season for Bronny, where we find out if he is going to be a longer term prospect or if, you know, he isn't going to be one. So those are like the two kind of off the cuff, like backup point guard options that the Lakers currently have on their roster. I also just think like, we have gotten too carried away with the amount of creativity that teams need to have on their roster. The Lakers have Austin Reeves. They have Luka Doncic. Those guys are going to stagger for big chunks of the game. Quentin Grimes has a little bit of creativity too. I think Walker Kessler it can operate as a fulcrum to the offense in some stretches as well. And like finding a back, like Lonnie Walker just signed a training camp deal with the Denver Nuggets, right? Like that's a fine-ish player, you know, and I don't think that the Lakers, like if I had my choice between Kelly Oubre or Colin Sexton, I would probably have preferred Oubre. Now, like, look, that said, the Lakers were also able to get a pretty dang good wing, you know, granted with some injury concerns in Matisse Thybul on the minimum as well. So maybe you could, had the Lakers, you know, used that amount of money that they gave to Colin Sexton and instead used it on a wing, this kind of reply or question could have been directed at like, well, you know, did we need to sign Kelly Oubre to that deal when Matisse Thybul was available? I would say, just because I prefer wings over guards personally, I would say yes. But like I, you know, it just is what it is. Like I will always, while covering the Lakers with Rob being like the main basketball decision maker, I'm never going to be surprised. I will actually be surprised after an off season that doesn't involve bringing in a, you know, 6'3 bucket getter. Like that's Rob Pelinka's type. Lakers always have to have a couple of those on the roster. And, you know, that's just the way that this is going to go. I wish that he had a different type, right? Like Masai Ujiri clearly has a type in that, like, he loves him some wings. And so like that is more in line with how I view basketball, but, end of the day, they have the same number of championships. So we'll see whose approach, you know, bears more fruit in the years to come. Let's see. Travis Stanford writes, when my girls were younger, the lockers outside the entrance at Disneyland were a godsend for holding all the crap you have to bring for kids. Have you ever used them? I have not personally. So we go there. We have the two kids and my folks have this big, like one of those big jogging strollers that sit two kids side by side on it. And there's this, like, it's honestly, it almost looks like it's by design, but there's this stretch of the handlebar there that has no grip on it that we usually strap the backpack to. We have a backpack there that would normally go in that kind of a locker. And maybe someday if we don't have that stroller, we would put that stuff in there. But I've never had to use it personally because we always have a stroller to strap that backpack to. Like the backpack, it's one of those diaper bags, you know, and it has a snap here on each strap that, you know, you can, it makes it easy to attach to any kind of handlebar. It's honestly really smart design. And we use that, like we have a little wagon here that we put the kids in. We have that stroller that I just talked about. We used to have a minivan stroller that had like the platform on the back that Avery could surf on. We have the single running stroller and stuff like that. But at all times, like if there's a, handlebar, the backpack is almost always strapped to it, which means we don't have to lug it everywhere. But no, my parents definitely used to use those lockers, though. I remember that distinctly. I remember the family that would visit from El Paso and go to Disneyland. They would use those lockers as well. I could see why they were useful. I just also hated needing to make that trip to the front of the park all the time and then go back out into the park. Just strapping the backpack to the strollers is pretty great, but we have it a lot easier. Parents now have it a lot easier from like a packing standpoint than our parents did. That is for sure. Financially and almost every other possible way, mom and dad had it a lot easier. But as far as like from just packing and like, you know, like tech and all that stuff, we definitely have them beat there. All right. Let's see. Travis Stanford writes, feeling like Kuminga will be a bad fit for the culture of the team. What are your thoughts? This is something I think about pretty frequently. And especially if like, it does wind up being a 1 year prove it deal, whether it be on the minimum or if it's like if it is a sign and trade situation and the Lakers get Kuminga with team options attached to the deal, like if it is in any way whatsoever a 1 year prove it deal, I am really concerned about the ways that Jonathan Kuminga thinks he needs to prove his value to the rest of the league. And I think that like until the time comes where he acknowledges and acknowledges the value of and buys into that 3-and-D role that he is very well equipped to fill, by the way, until that time comes, I'm going to continue to be a little nervous about that. And I think honestly, like given the way that the Lakers have handled these negotiations, I think they're also wary of that. The word is out on like Kuminga, I don't think is a bad dude or anything like that. I think he's a little immature, but you know, most kids in their early 20s are typically immature. I think he gets really bad advice. And I think the people he surrounds himself get Kuminga, have earned Kuminga a reputation around the league that has impacted the league's interest overall in acquiring Jonathan Kuminga. And you hate to see that happen. It's a bummer when it happens, but I think that's very clearly the reality of play right now. I'll say this also, though, on the culture front. I think this team has a chance to be very close. Winning is going to help the most in this regard. But when the starting point from a culture standpoint is Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves, and everybody kind of follows suit from there with sacrifice, with work ethic, with commitment to the culture, stuff like that. I think that like that usually plays out pretty well. And in good cultures, you can have like one or two guys who don't like fully conform to the culture all the time. The Lakers also brought in Kevon Looney, who has experience with Kuminga in the past and, at least theoretically could kind of guide him back in the right direction if things start getting kind of carried away with like shot desires and role desires and stuff like that. Like that, like I like the Looney acquisition for that reason. But overall, like I'm actually not worried at all about the team-wide culture. I'm a little worried about them athletically. And maybe the culture can kind of make up for some of those concerns from an athletic standpoint. But like I actually think the Lakers are very well equipped if they do land Kuminga to deal with some of the headaches that might come with a player like Kuminga, you know, trying to earn a big payday that he has foregone the last couple of opportunities. All right, Jen just got home, so we're going to start wrapping these things up. Let's see. I'm just going to go through here. Oh, we did. We got a super comment earlier. My bad, Brandon. Let me get to that after the most important sound on the show. Fuck watching! Brandon Oming writes, kind of over the Jonathan Kuminga BS, just move on and go target PJ or maybe Watson. Also think Kyler will win QB1. Apparently JJ hasn't looked too good in camp. Are you concerned with the Dodgers on this 6-game skid? All right, lot to get to here. I understand I've gotten a lot of this, like Lakers fans who are just kind of, whether it's in Discord, whether it's my mentions, whether it's just everywhere, my mom texting me. But like, I understand some of that frustration over just wanting this thing to be over, just move on. But the problem with like some of the guys that you mentioned, PJ Washington, the Lakers don't have enough assets to acquire PJ Washington. Peyton Watson, they don't have the spending power nor assets to get him from Denver. So the alternatives right now are like probably on the roster. And, you know, as such, you're, you know, looking at a situation here where like it just tune out for a little bit. Like I know this is a weird thing to say on a fan centric team specific podcast on August 6th, but like, just ignore. Like, well, I mean, always ignore Evan Sidery, but like, just ignore some of like the NBA Central and Legion Hoops accounts for a little bit and just get off Twitter for a little while. Enjoy the rest of, if you have kids, like enjoy the rest of their summer. And then when we get into September, if this thing still isn't resolved, then at that point, like totally fine. All right, let's all move on collectively. The roster is the roster. Let's focus on training camp. Let's all get to work on this upcoming season. But for like right now, like in on August 6th, just tune out for a bit and then come back when we in like a week or two, or check back every week or so to see what's going on. And I promise whenever this situation is resolved, I'll go live right here to discuss the ramifications, how we got here, where things go from there. And at that point, just make sure you're subscribed. As far as the other stuff here, so the Kyler, JJ stuff, obviously, Brandon here is a Vikings fan like myself. Always knew Kyler was going to look better in camp than JJ McCarthy. I mean, look, I lived through Christian Ponder when the Vikings drafted him. And I don't know that we'll ever have a quarterback as disappointing as Christian Ponder was for the Vikings. But JJ McCarthy might actually, you know what? JJ McCarthy might go down as the worst pick in Vikings history. He's like, from everything I've heard, he is well behind or well underneath the Mendoza line for like ability to understand a playbook, grasp those concepts and help a team win. I don't think he's very well respected in the locker room. I think he's kind of soft, honestly, as far as like the injury stuff. As soon as they acquired Kyler Murray, I hit the eject button on JJ McCarthy, and I'm looking forward to game one or week one when Murray is the Vikings week one starter. And here's hoping that like he can earn himself that contract that Jonathan Kuminga is hoping to earn wherever he goes. I'm not too worried about the Dodgers. It's a long season. They've won two straight World Series. They're clearly bringing everybody along super slowly to keep them healthy for the playoffs. And I think end of the day, you know, they'll win however many games they'll win. They'll finish whatever seed they'll finish. I don't know that I would bet on them because the odds at them winning. Well, actually, right now, you could probably get, like, relatively speaking, some decent odds on the Dodgers winning a World Series because of the 6-game losing streak. I would check those odds, see what they are, and it might be worth your time. Just because, like, like anything short of finding out all of the staff is never going to come back. The Will Smith thing is concerning. I think he's a really big part of their identity, that culture, that locker room. But like end of the day, like I think they'll make it. Well, they're obviously going to make the playoffs. MLB playoffs are super weird, super random, so you never know. But they've proven that they find a way to win in those environments, and I think they'll be okay. But that doesn't mean it's any less frustrating to watch them lose six in a row. I don't think they won. I think they won like two games the first couple of days that I was in California, and then after that, I wasn't able to watch a Dodgers win with my dad. So that was kind of annoying. let's see. Go back here. Let's see. Trebla Nixer. Glad I found your YouTube show. Old fan from your podcast. Thank you very much. I appreciate that a ton. I've gotten a lot of that recently where the YouTube has started to grow, which please hit that like button, subscribe, all that good stuff. But like as the YouTube has grown, I've gotten quite a few people who have like messaged me in one form or another, like, you know, saying how nice it is to find me back out there again. Been here this whole time. Not going anywhere anytime soon. Hopefully one day moving back to California for the sake of like my own personal physical health, because these hours are brutal, but still here. Thanks for the support though. Let's see. CD writes, are there any mystery names you could see the Lakers getting at power forward, not Washington or Kuminga? Well, I'm telling you guys, just scratch PJ Washington off your list. It's not going to happen. I truly don't think there is a mystery name out there for the Lakers at the power forward. Like, it's either Kuminga or Jake or Vando. Like, that's probably what you're looking at next year. And, or at least at the beginning of the year. And then, you know, if Jake doesn't take the step forward that the Lakers are hoping that he takes, or if, you know, Vando still can't, either stay healthy or you know, doesn't work out there, then like, yeah, then the Lakers look to somehow, some way make a trade using the second round draft capital that they have. But yeah, as it stands right now, I'm sorry, I'm not more creative on this front, but I really don't think that there are mystery names to be had. There's like, yeah, like all of the mystery names are either signed or extended or whatever. This is why I was annoyed that the Lakers gave up all of that, all that they did for Walker Kessler, because you knew that eventually they were going to have to acquire a wing, and they didn't leave themselves any first round draft capital to acquire that wing. So, and now look, you got your center. Pelinka saves this job. And I think Kessler's going to be good, but that price has immediately shown itself to be a bit of a hindrance for building out the rest of the roster. Ooh, this is a fun question. What do you think the NBA will look like in another 10 years in terms of player contracts, style of play, and media coverage? 10 years. Whew, man. All right, so media coverage, I think you'll see a lot more independent coverage. I think traditional media is going to continue to dissipate and get worse. And, you know, like either that or we'll hit like an inflection point where somebody at ESPN will look around and be like, geez, why are we spending $300 million a year on Stephen A. Smith and the football player, the punter, legitimately blanking on his name. Maybe we'll hit an inflection point and the pendulum will swing back and they'll reinvest in more diverse offerings, meaning like more shows and more voices from different backgrounds and stuff like that. I think that, you know, shows like mine, shows like Pete's, shows like Jovan's, they aren't going anywhere anytime soon because we own our content, and, you know, companies still like, and I think as our shows grow, and all of them have grown significantly over the last few years or so, as those shows continue to grow, you'll have those partnerships, and maybe we'll eventually reach a point where we can be fully independent and you won't see, you know, an Odyssey linked to the top there, or, you know, you'll just see us be completely self-sustaining. We'll see. I don't know. Not saying that like I'm unhappy with Odyssey or anything like that. Just like, you know, like I had somebody, you know, hit me up asking about one of the ads that was running on YouTube, and I don't have any control over the ads that are running on YouTube. When those things offend you, I'm really, really sorry about that. I don't really have much control there. Just like the other day, I was talking about like Prize Picks, right? And gambling partnerships that you see throughout our industry. A lot of us don't really have much control there. Either we keep the lights on or we cut those ties. And, you know, for some of us, like not keeping the lights on isn't really an option. I have two kids that I have to support. So, maybe someday these shows will grow big enough and audiences will grow big enough that we can be so selective so as to sustain ourselves on purely, more acceptable to wider audiences, partnerships and sponsorships. But it's also like part of the, like one of the questions that I had, honestly, being fully transparent, is like, you don't ask, like, I don't know how frequently we see those questions asked of like larger shows, and the partnerships that they have with sometimes more questionable backing, you know, and so like, you know, to a certain extent, like are we holding smaller shows whose hosts you can reach to a higher standard than like larger shows that get much more money from partners that are even less agreeable? I don't know. But yeah, at the end of the day, like the media standpoint, I think we're going towards more independent media. The Substacks will continue to grow. I think like a lot of the team sites will go more independent and maybe continue to fund themselves that way. I think the written word is probably going to fall by the wayside because of the changes Google has made to their algorithm, and with AI existing the way that it does, you know, they've basically made it so that there's no reason to click on links and stuff anymore. And I think that is going to have a, you know, continued detrimental effect on the industry. So you're going to see a lot more YouTube shows, podcasts, other types of vertical, like, you know, short form videos and stuff like that. That will probably replace the blog post. You know, as far as the sport and how it looks, I think you'll, the only thing I'm comfortable predicting in the evolution of basketball is how unpredictable it is. For a long time, it was like, oh, the bigs are going extinct. Everybody's pacing and spacing. There's no reason to employ Walker Kessler types. And then they got into like playoff series against the Walker Kessler types or against the Lakers in 2019-2020. And they're like, ooh, actually, yeah, it helps to be big in basketball. We saw it in football recently, right? Where for a long time there was like, oh, running backs were interchangeable. Just don't draft them. Don't do this. Don't pay them. Don't do that. And while I've been on the air, Jahmyr Gibbs got paid the way that he did, right? And you know, NFL teams have kind of realized, ooh, actually, it is really valuable to have an elite running back there, the way that it was really valuable to have an elite running back there for the vast majority of the NFL's existence. So, I think, you know, the sport is going to continue to evolve. I don't see centers going anywhere anytime soon. I do think, you know, you'll see, you know, we'll continue to see wings with guard skills I like the one player archetype that I think is going to go the way of the Dodo is that like 6'3 bucket getter. Like if that player can't defend at an elite level, I think the desire for those players is going to continue to dissipate. But I like one thing's for sure. I can't wait to watch. Like the evolution of sports is always so fascinating to me. You know, and like this isn't even taking into account the adjustments that like the league might make to the sport. I'm kidding. Adam Silver doesn't care about basketball. All right. Let's see. So this is a, all right. So, at Heretic Pride asks, what is going on with the Mark Walter financial stuff and why isn't this a bigger story? I feel like no one in the Laker content circle has really talked about it. Well, first and foremost, the reason nobody has really talked about it in the Laker content circle is because it doesn't impact the Lakers right now. Like the reason I've had Clippers fans going after me constantly about this. Oh, why aren't you louder about Walter? Why aren't you louder about Walter? Why aren't you louder about his investments in this and that and the other? And it's like, okay, all right. Sit down. Ready? Are you ready? It's because Steve Ballmer, his infractions were directly impacting the team I cover's ability to acquire Kawhi Leonard. Got it? So, like, when we ask why isn't Mark Walter's thing being covered, it is being covered by, like, financial platforms and by news gather, like you know, the legit journalists and stuff like that who cover this on like a worldly basis. But none of what Mark Walter is accused of to this point has anything to do with basketball. There was no cap circumvention that we know of right now. Now, if there is, and if we find out that that's what he was doing, I'm going to blame Steve Ballmer. No, I'm kidding. I'll cover it. Like I'll hop on here. I'll explain what the allegations are. I'll explain what I know about that situation and we'll get through that stuff together. But as it stands right now, these are purely financial allegations. And by the way, as I've said all along, Mark Walter's a billionaire. I like there's one stance that I've maintained very consistently here. It's that like I do not trust billionaires. And so like when I find out Mark Walter is being shady as a billionaire, I'm like, yeah, that tracks, you know, and the stuff that he's being alleged, you know, that some of the allegations here having to do with insurance and insurance being shady. It's like, yeah, insurance sucks. I've been fighting with the freaking, the builder who like the company that built my house because like all of my, like, We have like a stucco stonework kind of combination on the exterior. And the builder, when they put in the mortar, had too much water in the mortar, and now it's like eroded to the point where like rocks are falling off of my house. And like the guy who like representing the builder showed up in my house and he was like, well, sir, you know, it's because of the foundation. It's because of this. And it's like, all right, man, what other houses with stones have similar foundations to mine? They have rocks falling off of their house. You tell me. So when I find out that like a warranty company or an insurance company or whatever is being shady, like I was just at my parents' house. My parents were dropped by AAA back home. Because they live in a region that you know, deals with fires and stuff like that. Why are any of us paying for insurance if like when it comes time for those insurance companies to step up and help out after years and years? Like my parents were AAA care. We were just dropped by AAA because for some way they found out that like we are or because I work from home. They're like, yeah, we can't cover your house anymore because you work out of your house. And it's like, huh, all right. So all those years that we've been paying for AAA, and we're talking about a 30-year relationship between my family and AAA, and like the insurance company just one day goes, nope, you guys are out. or the day comes where we actually need like help. I remember like our garage door broke and they were like, oh, sorry. Yeah, we can't cover that. Why not? I don't know. Reasons. So like finding out that a billionaire is shady or that an insurance company is shady or a billionaire's insurance company is shady. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I would say that's probably how it goes. All right. What was out at Belgarath 76 writes, what was Palinka's favorite ride when you guys were hanging out at Disneyland? I'm either going to go with like the merry-go-round and that like time is a flat circle with Rob. Or it's a small world in that like he doesn't hire outside of his circles. Those are the two answers I would probably go with there. I will say that the Cars roller coaster at California Adventure kicked a lot of ass. That was really fun. Also, Avery freaking loves Star Tours, and it's so incredible to me that Star Tours has been there for like 40, 50 years, however long it's been. I've been going since I was Avery's age, and it still just absolutely enthralls children. That's a really cool ride. Also, Fantasmic is great. And if you're going to Disneyland and you're staying for the fireworks, go watch Fantasmic and stay exactly where you are if you have a good seat or good standing area for Fantasmic. And the reason being is the fireworks display, they recreate that in a cool way there in that same little Frontierland area. So check that out. We've done it the last couple of times we've gone to Disneyland, and both times were major hits, not just with like my family, but with people who have been going to Disneyland for a long time and had never done it before. That like everybody always after Fantasmic books it to Main Street for the fireworks display there. And I get it, you know, that's traditionally where you watch it from. But what they do there in that same little watery area, that same like Tom Sawyer's Island is what it used to be. What they do there now is super sick. Like it's really, really cool. You should go check that out. All right, best guess for roster hopes post trade deadline. I think that will be the time that the Lakers acquire another center, another more productive center, I would say, like who is not as good as Walker Kessler, but is better than Kevon Looney. And like, I think they're going to do that with one of their two-way spots anyway, but I think they'll probably do something to bring, get a little younger, a little bit more athletic at the center position after the, post-trade deadline. Yeah. So buyout, like a buyout player, then a buyout center would be something that I could see happening. Outside of that,
because
there's some buzz about Klay Thompson potentially being bought out. So we'll see if that doesn't happen now. Will it happen closer to the deadline? This whole situation with Anthony Davis's extension talks with the Washington Wizards, I find really interesting because Anthony Davis, so he has on his current contract, he has this season, and then next year he has a player option for $62.8 million. If he doesn't get an extension, I'm pretty sure he's going to pick up. But what would be interesting is if he doesn't get if he doesn't come to terms on an extension, and he plays out this year, picks up his player option, and plays next year as an expiring, would he ever be bought out? That'd be an interesting one. Not that it matters this year, but just saying, you know, kind of eventually. But I think post deadline, I would say Klay Thompson or the kind of big that can play more frequently than Kevon Looney will be able to this season. All right, let's double check here one more time. BT Kingsley writes, was done with Jonathan Kuminga till I watched a tape of him versus OG. No. I want to be absolutely clear here. If this was 2K, like if this was NBA 2K, and I could just put Jonathan Kuminga, the basketball player, on my basketball team, no problem whatsoever with it. Like, he is a very intriguing basketball player. And if he ever fully devotes himself to being a 3-and-D, two-way impact player, the team that he will be on, if and when that happens, will be absolutely thrilled, i.e. might even win a championship, because he will be at such an incredible deal value-wise. But I just don't know that he is going to do that next season. And especially, by the way, if he gets another contract that is more than the veteran minimum, I think you probably have to wait until he is on the vet min, that he finally, you know, kind of wakes up, plays the kind of basketball that he needs to play, and turns his career around. But whoever pays him this year is going to be doing so with a little bit more risk than they'd like, because I don't know that he's going to sign for the minimum. But, you know, regardless, like, Jonathan Kuminga, just the talent, absolutely worth, like, there's a reason that, like, you have several teams interested in him still to this day. But as it stands right now, Jonathan Kuminga, the circus, I'm kind of good. All right. I'm going to go ahead and pop out of here. Thank you, everybody, for the questions. Please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Please turn on notifications and all that good stuff. Today's show is brought to you here on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $150 worth of picks when you sign up. Use that promo code and win a $5 lineup of your own. So tomorrow is Friday. I'm going to try to record another episode, whether it's with Harrison or just kind of in general. You know, worst comes to worst, I'll do a player preview and drop that tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that. After that, we'll be back hopefully with, you know, some kind of an update over the weekend. And as always, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.